Quick note before we start the show, the Fantasy Heroes game that you guys have heard us do, where we do fantasy, kind of fantasy football, but for Marvel Cinematic Universe characters to see how they do. The 2024 game is open now. We didn't get a chance to announce it last year before it started, so I wanted to let you guys know. We're going to try to do our draft episode in the next few weeks, but if we don't, just know the Fantasy Heroes is open. You go to fantasyheroesgame.com. That's fantasyheroesgame.com. I'll try to put a link in the show notes. You can either join with a team of people you want to play with, or you can get assigned a team, and all the rules and everything are over there. So go to fantasyheroesgame.com if you want to play this year and be a part of the fun. And on with the show. Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, it's an exciting day. It's the first day we get to hear about your reactions to the first episode of Loki. This is one of my favorite things to talk about, so let's do it. All that right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
This is one of my favorite types of episodes because when we have a new show out, and we get other people's things that they're writing in and hear what they're saying. And like, they just inspire so much like creativity and interest to me. I just love hearing other people's thoughts on like things I would never would have noticed or never would have thought about.
This one, I feel like it's fun because you guys are on my level for the first time. Like, you didn't get to watch the episode twice before. And it's funny to see other people like saw things that I'm like, oh, I wanted to talk about that. And I wanted to talk about that. But the just chaos of jumping on, especially for the premiere of a new episode. And we're all just 10-year-olds like, wow.
Yeah.
That's what I love these. Because I'm like, God, I wanted to talk about that. Thanks for Absolutely. Remembering.
Yeah. And I normally don't like taking notes on my first watch of a thing. Right. So that's what we do, a lot of those instant reactions. But now that it's coming out in prime time, I'm like, I want to have a thoughtful episode since we're doing our full review episode the first night. So I have been taking notes, but I like to not do notes because I like to just enjoy it the first time. But I just tried to take some very minimal notes this time.
Yeah, I've always had to do it. And my notes are like chaos. It's always like 3 or 4 words. So I like remember, I'm like, chicken car died. You know, like, because I'm on my phone trying to type, you do it with them on my notes.
Yeah.
I don't love it, but it is all fun in its own way.
Yeah. No, it is for sure. All right. Well, we've got a bunch of feedback. So you want to just dive in and talk about what everybody's
Let's
saying?
Let's jump in. Let Patreon first, as always.
Of course, the Patreon first, which by the way, patreon.com/MCUcast. If you enjoy this show, throw us a few bucks a month. It really, really helps out. We did our Patreon hangout on Sunday and they were talking to us and they were asking about how the finances worked. And I was telling them like the ad finances of the show are all over the place, but the Patreon is like really where we get like consistent support. Like we do ads here and it does help, but like the Patreon is where we have consistent support. And so thank you so much for all the Patreon people.
For sure. And if you know, there has been widespread issues with Spotify and our podcast and other podcasts, which we all know about, you know, thanks for everyone who wrote in, but you know where you never have a problem getting the podcast? Patreon.
and it's ad-free.
Ad-free, baby.
And sometimes early, if it's a episode we have time, we were able to do that. And we do a raffle once a month to send something out to somebody, or sometimes it's a guest spot on the podcast, stuff like that. So it's cool stuff. Anyway, so if you get a chance to go over there and check it out, check out the levels and if you're interested. But one of the things we always do is give patrons priority on our feedback episodes. So let's do it. First up, we have Earth to Chris. One of our patrons says, When Mobius, I started reading this and I saw Mobius and I read it as Morbius and I was like, this is not a Loki feedback. What is this about? This is the Jared Leto feedback.
It's Morbin time. Morbin when that took time. Over the whole internet.
That is still one of the funniest things that like Sony re-released it thinking they were trending. It's, I mean, like, I feel like if they'd really turned into it, maybe, like, if they'd done an It's Morbin Time trailer or something like that, like, they maybe could have capitalized, but they weren't willing to, like, fully lean into the It's Morbin Time thing.
No.
Like, if they'd had, like, encouraged cosplayers that, like, were half-dressed as Power Rangers and half-dressed as Morbius or something, I don't know. Like, it could have been the first Barbenheimer situation, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, we've made it two words into this. Okay, here, sorry. Earth to Chris says, when Mobius breaks a piece of the device off in the hall, I think it was an improv line when Owen Wilson broke the prop. Just a theory, but it seemed like that kind of a line. The phone should be answered by a very dark, evil version of Loki. Ooh.
The phone should be answered?
He says answered by, I think he means the person on the other line should be an evil version of Loki. Well, we've already talked about it. It's very likely that the person who pruned him
was him.
Could be another version of Loki, not necessarily the evil version. But yeah, what if he does prune himself and then he steps forward? It's the Loki we know. He's just been through the whole season. I feel like the fact that they call that Obi or Ouroboros is a clue that not only maybe his character is a character that's going to have a grandfather paradox, but maybe this entire season is an Ouroboros. Like it's the entire, and we saw it. We saw him getting pruned and what if he comes back and that's the end of the thing. But this is a really good point. Like what if then on that phone is another version of that where another future version of Loki or evil version of Loki is talking to this middle version of Loki and the thing just keeps eating its own tail over and over.
What do they have to say to each other at this point? Like, don't do it or do it or Sylvie was obviously involved. I don't know. I'm very excited to see where else all this is going to go. It's kind of like impossible for me to wrap my mind around. I'm like, but why? Like, just stay in lane.
I keep thinking about like what's going to happen with, you know, He Who Remains and Kang and like all of that stuff. And I think that's going to be the focus of this season. But a big feature last season was the multiple Lokis. I mean, clearly, of course, Sylvie and Loki, but then that last second and third to last episode were filled with Lokis. You know, when he got pruned and we thought he was done for a second, they just have done the right thing with the show, man. When they pruned him and then they didn't wait till the next episode, like as if they'd wait till the next episode, it would have felt cheap, you know?
Yeah, it would have
been. But like, they immediately showed us in the post credits, like all these Lokis and Alligator Loki. I just like the joy in my heart when I saw Alligator Loki for the first time. Love it. I love it so much.
You know me, I don't really like children, but God, I liked that little boy Loki. He's like, I killed Thor. That's what got me kicked off the timeline. I was like, okay, do you want to be my son? I'll adopt you.
Darkest timeline baby Loki. It's real weird.
He was like, killed Thor.
It just, for those of you, nobody's seen video of this episode, so you did the roadie choking Thanos motion.
One of my favorite lines. I was like, that's right, Philly represent.
I like the idea that Mobius, that Owen Wilson was improving that moment when he broke the thing in the hallway, but I'll have to go back and rewatch it. I did watch for that, I guess. So I can't
like
say that I
noticed.
I'd like to
see an evil, dark, serious Loki, because even like the Lokis that we've seen haven't been particularly, you know, evil.
It's a really good point. Like, we've never seen a truly evil Loki. All of the Lokis we've seen have been sort of this misunderstood, whatever. But like, what if we saw a Loki that never had that sort of redemption arc that we see, and like his choices keep leading him down darker and darker paths, and we do see like, just seeing Tom Hiddleston play, like the closest I feel like we've seen is like Loki Avengers. And Avengers. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the Loki, like the king of the bowling alley or whatever that was, like he was just a jerk. He wasn't like evil. And then they all just started killing each other. But I'm talking like evil. Let's do it.
Yeah, those are just like competitive Lokis. Those weren't really evil. Yeah, but I'd love to see a Loki that, like, maybe now that we've got this Loki that cares about something. I mean, he always cared about his brother, and he always cared about Asgard in some ways.
His mom.
And his mom.
Mommy's boy.
But now that he's got Sylvie to care about, like, what if there are two versions of the timeline within the TVA somehow? Like, this story we're seeing in the TVA, what if there's a version of him that loses Sylvie or something and, like, really has to turn dark and try to, you know, capture the timeline, and he's, like, a servant, more of a servant of Kang, or sort of, like, trying to take, you know, at the end of season one, he refuses to take the throne. And it's such a great moment because that's been his desire for everything. And he's offered the ultimate throne and refuses it, you know?
I know. I was so disappointed. I was like, no, you could do some good.
You know what? No, wait. I'm wrong. I said that. He doesn't refuse the throne. She refuses the throne.
They both kind of do. I don't think he was going to take it. He was going to, but I think they would have been really good. I honestly thought that would have been a good thing for him. Like, okay, you need to be a king. Here's something you can be a king of where you're not going to be an absolute disaster.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, like, that power corrupting. That was what was so interesting about that like whole scene. And it's been a while since I've rewatched that.
She's like, I knew you would do this. And he's like, yeah, I'm you.
We believe him. But yeah. She doesn't. We believe him that he's like, no, I think we should do this because it's the right thing to do. But he's always believed that he's the right thing for ruling everyone, you know? Mm-hmm. He wants to rule Earth because, like, he thinks it's the right thing. He's like, yeah, I'd be a better king than Thor. I'd be a better king than your rulers.
Was it Miss Minutes who offered him? They're like, how would you like to go back and stop those pesky Avengers? And you could have won. Like, they did give them some options, and
they give them options before they meet He Who Remains. They give them the option of going back to, like, stay before you even go in. You have the option to just return to the timeline and, like, be the king of the mountain or whatever.
Yeah,
and you could return you both to the same timeline and stuff like that. But then, like, He Who Remains offers them the role of, like, sitting in the Citadel and ruling over time, which is like a whole other level. It's really, but why? That's such a good. I'm gonna sit here and analyze the last episode of season one. But if you'll let me,
yeah.
No, it's the thing, you need to stop me.
Oh, see, I'm such a yes man. I'm like, yeah, I'll run time. I'll do whatever you want to do.
No. But the idea of the last episode, like, why? If Miss Minutes is on his side and He Who Remains his side, why did she offer Loki a chance to leave completely rather than, why wasn't it all leading? Because He Remains says in that moment, like, it was all leading to this moment, you know, like, it was all leading. I was leading you here. I paved the road for you to be right here. Then why is Miss Mitz doing that?
Messing with them.
Yeah.
It's the apple in the, you know, in the Garden of Eden, and the snake being like, don't you want a little bite of this? No.
Right. Well, that's the thing though. Is it the Satan to, in your analogy, is it the Satan to He Who Remains God? Which we've always kind of assumed that Miss Minutes is working with Kang, because I think it seems that way for sure. But I wonder, in that moment, it almost seems like she's trying to stop them. So it's like she's trying to stop them from reaching him, but he wants them to reach him. So what is Miss Minutes' role?
I think it's mind games.
Well, that's the other thing. It could be mind games, or it could be a test to be like, are you the version of Loki that can pass this up?
Maybe, I like that a lot.
Yeah, I like it too. Anyway, okay, up next we have Trent Pummel, another one of our patrons, says, at the time marker 3621 in this episode, during the phone call in the hallway scene, you can very faintly make out a figure walking toward Loki from behind him. On the reaction podcast, Jeff said that Loki will have to prune himself, and it sure looks like the blurry figure has black hair and possibly some Loki horns. Ooh, Loki horns. I think we need a scene-by-scene breakdown from Matt with a classic enhance. If that is not Loki creeping up behind Loki, Lokiception, then who could it be? Maybe Renslayer. Couldn't really tell the skin tone from the 2 seconds of screen time.
I don't think it's her.
Well, it just depends on what the goal of the person. Like, clearly whoever pruned him
knew what was going on and that that had to get done, right?
Well, kind of. Here's the problem. We're back to, like, how does time work in the TVA? Because they were like, you need to be pruned at the exact moment when I'm going to extract you from the time stream. But if he's pruned way in the past, like 400 years ago, which it seems like is what happened, then, like, is he entering the time stream since time doesn't work that way and there is no past at the TVA? Is all of that happening simultaneously? It just feels like they're going another...
Isn't a black hole where two parts in time meet at the same time?
As a wormhole, or I think is what you're thinking. So maybe there's some sort of connection between... And that's what we talked about on our reaction episode a little bit. Why is it these two moments? What is the key connection between these two moments that makes Loki jump? Because he wasn't just jumping randomly around time. He was jumping between two contiguous points in time.
And bang, Sylvie is there and says, I found you.
I found you. But is she saying that to Loki or this other figure behind Loki?
Yeah, she seemed happy, though. It was kind of like, I found you, instead of like, found you, mother, you know?
Well, and she said, was it in season one or was it this where she says, I was pruned before you were born?
Yeah, a long time before you were born, I think she said.
So, like, what is
that? When she can't go into the door. I love that scene. He's like, are you going to go? She's like, can you just give me a minute to get my head straight?
So what if we're seeing, like, a long time ago in the TVA, and it's like Sylvie has just been pruned, and she's just sort of figuring out. So last season, we had this experienced version of Sylvie helping Loki navigate this whole world and the TVA and everything. What if we end up getting a Loki that gets to go back and help her navigate the TVA for the first time?
If she didn't have bangs, I would think that that might be a little bit more possible. I have to watch it again to see if there were bangs or sans bang. Because I'm telling you, you can tell a lot from this stuff by people's hair. We've always paid attention to that.
I know. Yeah, that's like your first interaction with the podcast was giving us like cool hair thoughts about.
I was like, Natasha's hair is about 6 months grown out, so we're at least a couple years after.
Yeah, so this is where it fits in the timeline because of hair.
Yeah, because if they were going to have it be, I don't know, I guess she could have had bangs back then, but I don't think it would have been smart to do that because it would be confusing since new Sylvie, did she have bangs in the very first episode? Or she had her crown?
I honestly have no idea when she did and didn't have bangs.
I can't remember. But I know, I'm pretty sure she had bangs coming through the elevator.
Her hair is definitely different in the elevator than we've seen it before. But yeah, I feel like we need to like rewatch really closely that entire sequence. She has rings on. Like I have it pulled up right now. I'm doing the enhance thing. This is not a video episode. I don't see anybody walking up behind him before he's pruned.
Okay.
But I'm looking, and I'm watching it in incredible slow-mo to try to get a sense of what's going on here. Man, he looks very pained as he's being pruned.
See, and I was like, I was confused by that because I'm like, isn't that what you wanted to do? I think maybe it's because he saw Sylvie.
That's the real, like, character stuff of this first episode.
Oh, she's got bangs in that. She has bangs.
In which?
Pulling the elevator apart. And she's smiling.
She definitely has it there. I'm asking, like, when else has she had bangs? Like, when does that, what does the bangs mean is the question.
But, well, it looks like since she's in the 80s, maybe she cut her bangs to work at McDonald's because bangs were a big thing in 1980 or whatever.
Oh, man. He's right.
You see it?
Trenton is definitely right. Like, it's not the shot when he gets pruned. It's like a good bit before that shot. He gave us a time code. I'm sitting here trying to narrow it down.
3621.
Yeah, he gave us a time code. I don't know what I'm...
Okay, so when Sylvie first gets to the McDonald's, there are no bangs. So when we see her at the end, no bangs.
Right. But in...
But in the elevator, she had bangs.
Okay.
And then in all the other things that we see later, so she has bangs. So it looks like she cut her bangs after the whole
in the trailers, she's had bangs, you're saying?
Yeah, because that's future stuff that we're going to see. And we've seen her with bangs in the McDonald's. But when she got there at the end of that season, or at the end of the first episode, no bangs. But elevator bangs. So they're going to, I don't know, time travel.
Or it could be something from another time completely. Also.
Do you see horns?
I'm trying to figure it out. Oh, man. And he's wearing like a, it looks like he's wearing like a green jacket type situation or something. I don't know.
Cool. It would kind of make sense that he would be the one that found out and have to go back. I wonder if the last episode of this is going to mirror the first episode or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Or even halfway through or something. We are definitely going to revisit all these moments from a different perspective, I feel like.
Because I also think that other stuff is going to be happening around Sylvie, because we've seen the record falling apart, which I think the record is a really good analogy of time as well. Like, if you look at a record, it's in a circle. Each track is something new. And when it slowly starts to unravel, you're like unraveling it piece by piece.
Yeah. I do think it looks like this figure has black hair, possibly horns, but it's so faint and blurry. I also think that it could be Mobius. Like, just seeing the way that the figure seems to be standing, I could kind of see it being Mobius. And maybe that black hair is just the space around his head and shadows.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, I will try to get a good picture of this and send it out on the Strand of Panda chat or something. But I'll maybe put a link to that post in our feed here. And if you haven't, join our Stranded Panda chat on Facebook.
Jump in.
Unfortunately, Disney has it so that you can't screenshot anymore.
Oh, those jerks.
Yeah.
You have to watch it on your phone.
Oh, yeah. I guess you can screenshot on your phone, maybe?
Yeah, okay. I would think so.
Cool. Yeah, I'll see about that. Okay, love it. I love it. That's a really great catch, Trenton. I did not know about the person behind, but I could see it being Loki or Mobius, in my opinion. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm guessing Loki because it just would be cooler.
Yeah, like it's cooler Loki, it's cool.
Him. Yeah. All right, up next, Andre Sparks, one of our patrons, says, "Hey, Panda Crew, Loki season 2 desires and Loki predictions follow." Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, he sent this in before the season started, and we just didn't get to it. It somehow missed it. I think we'd already recorded the desires episode before it came through.
2:03 a.m. Andre, what are you doing?
Whatever, man. No judgment. You do you, Andre. You live the time stream you want to live. Back to Andre. Loki season 2 desires and Loki predictions follow. I want to learn how Renslayer is connected to Kang and how she became a part of the TVA. I also want to see a jet ski chase to replace a car chase. I want to see a post-credit scene that connects this to Deadpool 3. Lastly, here is my final prediction for the Loki character. I predict Loki will be the leader of the Secret Wars, and he will be the Tony of the culmination movie. He will sacrifice himself, and a new MCU will be born. Hope we all have a good time during this series. Keep up the good work, Andre. Andre, thank you, bud. Thank you. Those are some great predictions and some great, like, thoughts. I don't know how many of them will come true, but, like, there's some really good ones in there.
Well, the first one, that was my desire. So, like, I want to see the Renslayer and Kang relationship. Mm-hmm. So, and I honestly, because of that little second that we got from the first episode, we definitely are them. Yeah. Talk. He's like, "Oh, I like what you're doing, girl." She's like, "Oh, thanks."
We're going to get some deeper connection to Renslayer for sure. Mm-hmm. And I love we all want something with a good jet ski, but jet ski car chase, like a jet ski action sequence sounds like a lot of fun. I don't know if I want him to like really enjoy it or like hate it. Like, I kind of like the idea of him getting on the jet ski and then like being in the middle of him being like, "Why do people ride these things? This is terrifying."
Yeah. Or, they're not the best, man. They really aren't.
It's funny. My girlfriend's family has a jet ski thing that they ride out at the lake or whatever. And like just this morning I was on the phone. They needed someone to come pick it up because they don't have a car with a trailer hitch. And I was like, "I do, I can come do that." Mm-hmm. And so like, it was kind of funny that I was this morning talking about going and helping out a family with a jet ski.
I like driving a jet ski, but being a passenger on the jet ski is like absolutely the worst.
Oh yeah.
I've never liked being and especially like, you know, as females, we have to shave our legs and then put lotion on because you're going to be out in the sun. I've slidden off. Like, I've had bruises from trying to hold on to that stuff because it's different when you get to hold on to the front and you're like in control. But when you're like, you have to hold on to somebody in front of you's waist, they take a turn. Why do you think so many people get dumped? It's so hard.
That's why you should just never shave your legs.
I know.
Then you get that like scene from Spider-Man where those little things come out of his fingertips and stick to the wall.
Yeah, I would do that.
You know?
If society would let me.
Yeah. Let women have Spider-Man legs. Come on, people.
Leave us alone. I want to find the man who did that to us. If I could go back in time.
Mm. And another roadie strangling Thanos. She's going to kill so many people in their cribs, people. Dude, she's a real dark character over here.
We were talking about that movie Chronicle the other day, and I was like, that's me. That's exactly what would happen to me. Chronicle with Michael B. Jordan and what's his face? It's like kids get random powers from an asteroid, and then the one guy just Dane Whitman just immediately. No, wait. I think Dane Whitman's a superhero. Dane something is his name. They just immediately are like, the one is bad. You never saw Chronicle?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really good.
I'd be up there like, unlimited power. Come and stop me, cops. And then they'd stop me.
Yeah. You'd get stopped. I'm sorry.
Pretty quickly. I would go live on the moon.
The other two things that Andre says here that I find really fascinating is the idea of Deadpool 3 connection. That would be absolutely amazing. Like a post-credits with a Deadpool 3 connection. Because Deadpool 3 is one of the next things. We keep talking about how they should do that, even if it's unrelated. Mm-hmm. And Deadpool being able to hop in and out of the time stream at the end of Deadpool 2 just totally makes sense that he could like pop into this. And it would be a great laugh line. It would be a real connection to the MCU. And it would connect to the next thing, and like I would absolutely love it.
You know, that's something that I noticed when we were listening, when we were watching it. I heard Loki's theme was they played the theme from Multiverse of Madness in there once or twice, and I'll have to go back and look at it again. But that like bomb 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 bomb.
No, that's the Loki thing.
It's Loki, but it's also they play that when Wanda kind of like takes over that Citadel thing for herself.
I wonder if it's going to be the multiverse theme.
I hope so. I'm hoping that somehow that stuff's tied in.
Especially for us fans, because I think that as the Loki theme has worked really well. It's got this like
ethereal Loki's is thing. Bam, 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 like if you listen to the intro. But that specific thing, I was like, I've heard bam, that. Bam, and, bam, you know, that was Danny Elfman. He did that. I'd have to listen to them both again.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard that a lot in Loki, but I feel like it's at the end, maybe like at the in the credits of Loki that's in there. But I'm so bad at listening to those things and remembering.
Like, you're a musician, you should be into that shit.
I'm a musician, but I'm not that kind of musician. And it's funny because all of my friends, like especially in the geeky culture, like it's a big thing to love the scores of these different movies.
Yeah.
And I don't even recognize them half the time.
The scene I'm specifically thinking of isn't when she takes over the thing. It's when she, when they're in Carmitage and she had just crawled out of the mirrors and like Doctor Strange is trying to talk to her, like talk her down. And she's just like, you know what? Shut up. And just like goes up into the air. That's very much, I'll have to listen to both of those again because that's definitely what I was picturing. I was like, God, that sounds just like it.
Man, I just remembering that scene out of Multiverse of Madness is one of my favorites, which was when they use the music notes. Like, it's so good to fight. Oh, it's good. The other thing, last thing Andre said here is predicting that Loki will be the leader in Secret Wars and he'll be like the Tony of this culmination movie. I think there's a shot at that just because I do think there's something to be said for the way that we were all so excited for Secret Wars and we are also excited for Loki because those are the OGs. And I do think that like having at least some of those OG characters in Secret Wars, which like I think Nick Fury, Loki, Banner, you know, and at that point I feel like Doctor Strange and Ant-Man will feel like old school characters. I'm hoping that Captain Marvel can feel that way too. Captain Marvel, I like her as a character, but if it feels like she's been sparsely included and sort of haphazardly included in the things that she's been in. Like, she hasn't been a main character of an Avengers movie. She's sort of this thing that breezes in and out.
Yeah. It's their, we need to get out of this.
Right. Well, she's so friggin' powerful that it's hard to, like, write her in against, almost anybody. But
right.
maybe her... I don't really care for her powers to be nerfed. It's just like from a story perspective, or the villains that we're facing have to get so much more powerful before she's a, it's like that power scaling thing of like, she's so powerful that if the villains were powerful enough, then like Captain America and Iron Man don't have a chance. So it's like, right. It's like this weird. So the fact that she just came in and did that one thing made sense, but it also made her feel like a device rather than a character in those movies.
Right. That's why the Marvels, I'm pretty interested. I'm like, wow, at the end, we see all three of them fighting this one chick. And I'm like, well, how powerful is she supposed to be?
Right.
Tom Hiddleston's wife, by the way, my baby mama, is the villain. I think we talked about that before.
I think we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's neat. I do really like Captain Marvel. I think it's in the beginning of Endgame when she's just like, no, I'm going to kill Thanos. Like, yeah, that's what I do. Like, yeah, it's time to do that thing. Like, she's just, we're more of a team around here. And she's like, I'm not, though. Like, I like her bravado in that scene a lot. The sort of like experience 30 years on Captain Marvel is really cool.
And then she wasn't very helpful at the end of Shang-Chi in that scene. She's just like, no idea, gotta go. I'm like, okay, well, thanks for stopping by.
She's got more important shit to do. Okay.
I get it.
We are going to take a quick ad break, and we will be right back with lots more feedback and talk about this first episode of Loki right after this. And we're back on the MCU cast.
And we're back. Jeff's not here, so Emma, we're back.
Let's just dive right into this feedback. And up next, we have Chantel Brister says, hi, Jam or Maj. that's J-A-M for, I like Jam because it's a word.
I like Jam. You know? Jam's cool. I like but Jam. I like what she ends up going Jeff with Ashley ultimately. Matt.
Oh, actually, I'm going with Ashley and her guardians.
I kind of like the Peter Quill of our group.
Yeah, for sure. Come on, you're definitely the Rocket. Like, just
I'm
like
totally
not
the Rocket.
Not
I know.
Even
I'm in charge now.
Yeah, that's right. You're now the leader of the Guardians. Okay. Oh, she says, if this has already been answered, sorry, but what do you think isolates Loki as the only person so far that moves through time the way he does? If I'm thinking correctly without overthinking, when Loki is time slipping, he is moving through his own current branch. The rules before were going into the past does not impact your future. You essentially become a variant. But instead, he's time slipping and going to the past to directly help his future. Like when he is working through the problem with the past OB, and suddenly current OB remembers these helpful facts. I was thinking maybe because a Loki variant killed He Who Remains, but that doesn't seem like enough to give him this, dare I call it, power. It's also separate from America Chavez because she's the only one version of herself that exists. So she's not impacting anything. I love how they are complicating time so far this season. Thanks for letting me nerd out with you guys. Chantel. I do too, Chantel. Like, I don't even know where they're going with it. Like, I think your version that you're talking about where he's interacting with his own branch is a fine one. The problem is, up until now, this kind of time didn't even exist in the TVA. So there's no branches in the TVA. When you become a variant, you're either destroyed or you're kind of thrown in this pool that is like a toy box of TVA agents that don't seem to exist on the timeline. They can enter the timeline at any point. So he's not actually on a branch, at least the way the TVA used to work, but something has happened and now the TVA is working differently. I keep meaning to go back and watch that last scene from the last episode of season one, because there's a moment where like we now know it's in the past and they're watching the branches happen. And it seems like the TVA had something else happen. Okay. Here's a thought. Maybe the reason these two moments are connected, because we saw him run up to Mobius to try to talk and we see all the branches forking off. And Mobius and her are talking about how, like, the branches are off the charts. They're going crazy.
Right.
Maybe that version, that, and Sorry. And we saw the Kang statue. Maybe that is the moment the TVA was changed, or the last time this happened. So, like, let's say the TVA exists on the same kind of temporal spectrum that He Who Remains and the Citadel exists on, right?
Okay.
And so it's sitting outside of time, but it does have this connection to the Citadel, and they are going along a similar, like, because he's controlling the TVA as an instrument to control the timeline.
Right.
So maybe this was the last time, maybe the moments he's bouncing between are the last time a He Who Remains version of Kang was killed, and all of the timelines got completely, you know, absurd, and someone closed them down into one. So we're going to see the rise of the next He Who Remains, or alternatively, we see the rise of the last He Who Remains through the eyes of the past Sylvie and Loki, you know, like the one that we see in the past. So Loki maybe now that he's been pruned and brought into the time stream, he's going to have these clues of what happened in the past in this previous time, right? This previous time he was connected to. So what if they realize, like, no, they, from context clues, him seeing Sylvie in the elevator, well, of course he's going to want to go back. So because he just saw Sylvie. So he's going to go like, I know where Sylvie is. I have to figure out not how to time slip, but how to go back to the moment I was time slipping. So then he goes back to that.
To prune himself.
To prune himself. But also, we get to watch the rise of He Who Remains through their eyes sometime in the past. And then this version that we're seeing now, maybe that informs a way of stopping a He Who Remains from rising again. You know what I mean? Like,
what will be interesting is seeing why he chose to hide that he was in control of everything. Like, why he decided to be like, oh, no, actually, there's these three timekeepers. Like, what happened with this? Okay, so maybe they didn't like me being the ruler, so I have to be a shadow ruler and kind of hide behind everything. I'd like to see how that happened, too.
Well, it's very possible that whatever happened, I mean, that's the thing. So if we see the version of He Who Remains we saw in the Citadel, we see his rise and takeover of the TVA, and we see his like logic, and he's like, no, the reason the last TVA fell was because he had too much hubris, and he had this statue of himself. The TVA the TVA agents cannot believe themselves to be under control of this, of a megalomaniacal maniac. They have to believe they're under the control of a benevolent force, like the timekeepers, and he creates the timekeepers. Like, we could see all of that in this past, if what I'm thinking is right.
And it's interesting in season one of Loki, having like Ravonna talk about, you know, Rubius is like, how's it going in there? She's like, how do you think? They're furious. They're this, they're that. But we never actually get to see her interact with them. Mobius. Oh, look what you did it.
What? Oh, did I do it?
No, you made me think Morbius.
Oh.
I'm just going to go with Owen. So Owen Wilson is like, well, there's one of them. I don't know. We never get to see anybody talking to the timekeepers. We never get to see interactions, right?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be super, I don't know. I just would be really interested to see, like, she was going and reporting and talking with them. What are they saying to her? What are they doing? She was saying they were mad, but we never really got to see it.
Yeah. It would be really interesting if we see him set up the TVA the way it's supposed to be, the way he does, and we see how he conquers the TVA. We see how he resets people's memories. So they've already set themselves free, right? They set themselves free of He Who Remains in this version of the timeline, but now they need to figure out how to set the TVA free of things like the rewriting of their memories. What if they, like, their goal now is to prevent the TVA from falling under control of whoever this new conqueror is, whoever the new Kang variant is that's coming in to do what the old Kang variant did. And if they stop that, and they stop a He Who Remains like figure from rising, then, like, all out chaos. Like, they basically double down on the multiverse, and they double down on their decision to, like, let the multiverse thrive. And maybe Sylvie has to convince Loki by the end of the season that it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. I think she won't have too hard of a time convincing him.
No, yeah. I think I mean, it was pretty pretty just iffy there at the end. Them, like, they had their swords to each other's throats at the end. Well, she had hit her sword to his throat. I mean, she did.
He wasn't going to do anything. He was playing defense for the first time in his life.
Yeah, he was. So, to answer Chantel's question, I guess my only thought about the time slipping is, I don't know. Your version of your explanation makes as much sense as any. I think at this point, we don't have a good explanation for why the time streams, but I really like this thing idea we just popped into our heads about, like, the idea that that's why these two times are connected. Because that's been my, like, why these two times? Why are these two moments? And the one clue we have is both of these moments are moments where the multiverse is splitting. Because this is what we were talking about last season. We were talking about how, like, we see the multiverse in reality at the Citadel starting to split off. And then it cuts to the TVA and we see it too. So we assumed those were the same time. But what if they're not? And that one was the previous. And now we know they're not. So maybe that's why the connection exists. Like, him being pruned at the Citadel and being sent back to the wrong reboot, basically. Right. And now we're going to see that happen.
Now, do we think that that's even going to happen past this first episode? Because they kind of made it sound like whatever they were doing was going to stop that problem.
No, they didn't say it was going to stop the problem. They said it was going to protect the TVA from the problem. So okay. he said we need to close the blast doors to protect the TVA from the time stream or we'll all be destroyed. But, like, it doesn't fix... He said the TVA, something like, they can't handle the calculations of the loom creating so many time streams or whatever. But if he closes the blast doors, he thinks he can maybe be able to figure out how to solve that problem. But yeah, right now we have no idea what that. Right now, it's the TVA is trying to contend with the idea that the multiverse exists now.
Cool.
I don't know, man. I'm excited. Yeah. So wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
I know. I'm the worst person to have for time stuff because I can't wrap my mind around it. So I'm just like, sure, whatever it does. I'm here for it. I'm not trying to think about it too much because then it hurts my brain.
Don't worry, man. I will overthink it for the both
of us.
Yeah,
that's why it's good.
And you can just from the outside just make fun of how insane this is all getting.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
But I'm really glad to hear that, like, Chantel is right there with me. Like, she's like, I love how complicated this is getting.
Yeah, I'm just like, ugh.
Okay, up next, Kimmy says, hey, Matt, Jeff, and Ashley. Kimmy_Pike here. I guess that may be her Twitch name, possibly. Hmm. I've been listening for a bit now, and this is my first time writing in. Hey, thanks, Kimmy, for writing in for the first time. First time, long time. Woo!
Yeah.
I am really pumped for what is to come in Loki Season 2. I have no fears or worries about it dipping in quality after the ending of Episode 1. My mind has been going down a bunch of rabbit holes trying to guess who was on the phone and who pruned Loki. And honestly, every option on the table is interesting, fun, and great storytelling. Yeah, I agree with that. That's a really good point. Like, whoever it is going to be cool and interesting. Yeah. And I don't doubt it at all. Like, I'm totally on board. Is the person who pruned Loki the same as the person who's on the phone? Is the phone ringing a coincidence or part of the plan? Was it Mobius, Loki, Kid Loki, Sylvie, Ravonna, B-15, Kang? All of these possibilities are exciting, and I don't see myself being disappointed whenever the reveal happens. My favorite theory, although not necessarily the one I think is most likely, is that it was OB. I am really stuck on him quantifying the amount of time since he last saw Mobius. I think OB experiences time unlike any other TVA agent. OB seems to have never had his memory wiped. He remembered everything with Mobius very clearly. He almost seems to have a photographic memory. So I think it is a possibility that instead of watching Mobius have his skin melted off, he engaged in some time nonsense to prune Loki and save them.
I like that.
I like that too. That's really fun. I am very excited to learn more about OB and why he is so different than other TVA agents. I am also here for all the X-Men theories, regardless of how far-fetched.
Buckle up, baby.
Yeah, that's my favorite red string theory.
I was like, I saw the week. X on the door.
I know. There's the X on the door, the X5 being an asshole that seems kind of cyclopsy. Oh, yeah. She continues, thanks for all you guys do to create a fun online space for us Marvel nerds. This great feedback. I agree with Kimmy 100% that, like, no matter what happens, I'm so excited and on board. Like, there's not a thing in me that's like, this needs to happen, which is great. It feels like tons of possibilities are open because the show is so weird and cool.
Yeah.
And it'll all be interesting. I'm really pumped. Yeah. And I love the OB stuff. Like, OB is weird.
Yeah. That's not, it's like, did they just forget about him because he was down in that place? Did he maybe set up a way that the stuff doesn't get into where he is so he doesn't get the time, like the mind wipe, or is he just like forgotten about, which is the perfect reason for him to just continue to know everything he knows and never get like brain wiped? I don't know. Maybe Kang doesn't know about him. I'm kind of hoping that he's like also a higher power, like something a lot more powerful than anybody else in there, like the Watcher or somebody like that, who's just there to kind of make sure
interesting
things don't go so crazy.
I really like that idea. I also like the idea I just had, which is the idea that, like, what if he is a tech genius? I know we have a lot of them, but what if he's one of the tech geniuses from the Marvel 616 universe that we've been wanting to bring in? I was just trying to think of who would make sense. Like, what if he's a tech genius and, like, he is someone that Kang brought in as a variant to be like, oh no, we can use him, but maybe he is really powerful on the timeline. And so Kang kind of sequestered him on his own, but he can't keep wiping his memory like he wipes everyone else's memories because he needs that guy to be good at the tech. So he can't keep starting him over. He needs him to stay good at the tech and get better and better. He's writing these manuals and stuff. And I was just trying to think of, like, what comic book character, like, yeah, y'all let us know. Like, I think that's a really good question. Like, who is he a variant
Forge,
of?
If we're going X-Men.
Ooh, Forge. Okay. Someone we've, and this is definitely a connection partially because he's Asian. And I feel like his look kind of works for the character. But what about Amadeus Cho? Do you know, is he a tech guy? Like, I know Banner is, and he's a Hulk character. So I didn't know if, like, His mother in comics and in the MCU was a big. There's a lot of been talked for years about bringing in Amadeus Cho as a character.
That'd be cool.
And I don't know if he's a tech guy though. I know his mother is, and I know obviously a different Hulk is. So I was curious about that. I don't know.
Him having a single name like Cher, you know, or Madonna. It's a celestial god in a sort of way.
Well, and that's why I really like. I thought last week I asked, like, what Marvel character does OB, like the letters OB, is that maybe because he's Ouroboros, but what if it's something else in the timeline that OB works for? I can't think of anything though.
Obadiah. he's a variant of Obadiah.
Yeah, he's in a variant of Obadiah Stane. Be the silliest thing. But no, I do think that, like, the idea that just like bringing in Jonathan Majors as an acclaimed actor for season one, and like the expectation being that he would be in a lot more, like, Ki-Hu Kwan just was like critically acclaimed for his performance and like is kind of hitting the scene in a big way and returning to form, and he's beloved by kind of geeky people because of his like Goonies connection and his early like Indiana Jones connections and stuff.
Yeah, Temple of Doom, Temporal Loom. I saw that too.
It's all in there. but all of that, and like him being the tech guy in the Goonies too.
Maybe that's who it is.
Yeah, maybe he's the. It's like they finally get Goonies 2 off the ground, and this is how they do it. he returns to his original Goonies timeline. What is that character's name?
I don't like the Goonies.
Data. Data, that's what it is. I didn't have the same affection for it growing up that other people did. Like, people love that movie.
I know.
But I didn't watch it till I was, like, in high school. It just didn't have the same...
Even as a kid, I hated kids.
I see that. well, we got one more. Let's hit this last one. Todd Fitzhugh says, well, Loki Season 2, Episode 1 was a bit of
I think it's a very British way of saying this. Was a bit of all right, wasn't it?
Okay. All right. I'm just going to leave that in that way. That's fun. Well, Loki season 2, episode 1 was a bit of all right, wasn't it? I guess that is a British way of saying that. So lovely to see all those characters again. Tom Hiddleston's dramatic acting was superb, and I really like Owen Wilson's one-liners. I feel like I have to start off with, OMG, did the woman in the yellow van die? Loki said she'd be fine, but that didn't look fine.
No, she's totally dead. He can add another one of the people he's killed to his little not, like, I killed so many people board.
Yeah.
You even hear it smash, and I was, like, oof. Totally here for it. Oops.
My main couple takeaways from the show were, was the Kang the Conqueror's voice on the tape with Renslayer as opposed to He Who Remains? Was that Kang the Conqueror's voice as opposed to He Remains? Weren't we led to believe she didn't know who was in charge? Well,
they erased her memory. But they made that very clear.
Exactly, but they definitely erased memories. We know that now. Like, we speculated about it in season 1, but now we know it.
But I hope it's to save her because he loves her.
Yeah, I do.
Give me the romance.
Something like that. And I also wonder if, like, there's a possibility that He Who Remains really was, like, kind of a softer Kang, but had, like, a love for Renslayer. And, like, what if there is a Kang the Conqueror out there? Like, actually, now I'm really...
What if they're all in love with her?
Yeah, and that would be interesting, too. But what if there's... So we know that the Conqueror was thrown in, like, time jail in the Quantum Realm, right? Mm-hmm. So what if... What if this takeover we're seeing in the past is the TVA? Sorry, this is all getting very... The theory we've been talking about this episode, where what if the past of the TVA is at that transition moment when Kang the Conqueror goes down and He Who Remains replaces him?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Then maybe the He Who Remains we see at the end of time there is a... And we also saw that He Who Remains had those statues of multiple Kangs inside the Citadel. Mm-hmm. So what if that version is when Kang was imprisoned? Like, Kang had conquered the timeline and was, you know, lording over all the other Kangs, and then... we see the Kangs. Maybe we see the Kang dynasty at work coming in to take down that Kang, you know, throwing him in prison. And that's the version that we see in the big statue is also the one that gets thrown into prison.
I'm here for that. I like it.
Yeah, it sounds cool. Okay. Also, was Obi's memory coming back to him because it was just being jogged by what Mobius was saying, or were those memories being implanted in real time when Loki was having a chat with him from the past, if that makes sense?
Yes, it's the latter.
According to Obi, it absolutely makes sense. There's no flaw in that logic. And yes, I believe it was being implanted as it was happening. That's how they seem to be saying it.
They just did that. Remember that horror movie I told you to watch over this weekend? Totally Killer.
Yes, but don't spoil it.
I'm not spoiling it, but okay. It's a slasher that has to do with time travel. And they literally did the same exact thing. Where one person in the past is talking about stuff, and then you see the person in the future, and they're like, well, wait a minute. I specifically remember her being killed in the garage, but she was killed in the bedroom.
Let's see. Last thing that Todd says here, overall, thought it was a solid return, and I can't wait to see where the show takes us next week. There's still lots of mystery to explain, like where is Sylvie, where is Ravonna, and where were all those Minutemen off to? Listening all time, always, Todd. Thank you, Todd.
Maybe they're all being sent to 1980-whatever Oklahoma to go get Sylvie. But I think she's hidden, honestly. I think now that she's... She Who Remains, kind of, she can hide in the timeline wherever she wants, and it doesn't have to be at apocalypses anymore. That's why she's like, I am so chill with this.
Well, now there's so much change in the timeline happening, like with all the different timelines expanding, it seems like there's too much going on for the TVA to even track her, as long as she doesn't make big waves. You know, if she stays low key, so that's probably why she doesn't go around doing anything. I didn't even mean to do it that time.
Couldn't let it go.
No, for sure. Okay, guys. Well, that's the feedback. And yeah, I don't know where the Minutemen are off to. That's a good question. I think it has something to do with that lady who said, "Wait, that means we can do anything." Mm. And I think they are doing something that is unrelated to the, like, they finally feel free of the timekeepers, but that doesn't mean that all the TVA is going to be good guys. And I think they're going to do something dark that, like, that Loki and Mobius will have to stop, or Loki's Mobius and Sylvie will have to stop in some way.
Give me the darkness. Let's do it.
Yeah. I feel like it's probably going to be sort of unrelated to the overall arc of He Who Remains and all that stuff. So, like, if they're going to do something, what do the variants want? We know some of them want things, like Mobius wants a jet ski, but, like, what does that variant want? And when she says, "I can do anything I want," like, what do they want? And what kind of changes do they want on their timeline? How will they use the power of the TVA if it's in their hands and they can do whatever they want? And will it be selfish? Yeah, it seems like maybe there's just some selfish actions taking over there, but maybe that's me connecting it to, like, the idea of the, like, sort of religious trauma, and when you go through that sort of, like, lack of belief, like, figuring out your own path and figuring out what you prioritize and stuff. Like, I think this show is going for something with that concept, because it feels very, which is a concept that is very personal to me. And so I'm pumped to see how they handle it, and, like, what the different versions of how different people respond to losing their faith, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really cool. Okay. That's the feedback, man. Thanks for being on the cast with me today, Ms. Ashley.
As always, forever, all time.
And again, please go join up on the Patreon if you like our show. If you find it if you find it a good part of your week, it would be great if you'd support it. We try to put out a lot of shows, and we really appreciate you guys so much. And we will be back sometime Thursday night. That's right.
Yeah. I was like, pretty sure 10 o'clock Eastern.
We have a time. Yeah. 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central.
Come see us on Twitch.
We'll be on Twitch.
Join the conversation.
First thing, as soon as we can get it out, we'll have the podcast out on YouTube and the podcast version, because we're going to be dropping video versions. And in case anybody's looking, I'm going to post this episode, as well as all of our other feedback episodes, on YouTube as just an audio version, like with just our logo, because I don't have time to edit everything video, but I think putting them on there as audio will be good.
Yeah, so there's somewhere for you guys to find it besides whatever else.
So if you're having trouble, go watch on YouTube. Hey, and while you're at YouTube, comment, talk back and forth. Like, it really helps out, like, us get shown to more people on YouTube. And it's weird. We have such a large audience on our podcast, but our YouTube is, we have a lot of you guys have gone and subscribed, which is a huge help. But, like, most of you guys listen to it on podcast version. And so, like, the YouTube version doesn't get as much love, and the algorithm's kind of weird. So it gets us, we get very few views on YouTube, but, like, we want to do more with YouTube. So if you're, especially if you're in a time right now where you're not getting the podcast wherever you're getting this, which means you're not hearing this message. So this is sort of useless, but I'll post it in the chat too. It will be on YouTube. If you're having trouble, if you're having slow loading issues, like we've heard about from some people, we're trying to get it fixed, but I'll be putting all the episodes on YouTube, at least for the time being. So,
yeah,
we'll be over there. All right, guys. Much love. We'll be back soon. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. And a special thanks to all of our subscribers at patreon.com/MCUcast. You make this show possible. And a huge shout out to both, that's right, there's two of them now, Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III and Lieutenant Bongo. Thank you guys. If you want to find all of our fine Stranded Panda podcasts, go to strandedpanda.com. And for a video version, check out youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you want to take part in our live streams, go to twitch.tv/strandedpandatv.